Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. It is another happy hour on the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. It is hard to believe that in the year 2022, we have a county in Michigan with a legal system this antiquated and racist. What is even harder is that no one at the state or national level is taking action for the remedy of the situation. The good news is the public is listening to the Benton Harbor Community Water Council. They are working hard to discredit and intimidate us, but we are the louder voice. We are the louder voice, united. We have united many local and international forces. We are winning this battle. We are winning. We fight against fascism. What is happening today is the fault of the American white people, corrupt politicians, and a corrupt system. We will be a country of corruption. Save America by not funding the federal, state, and local government. Keep all the dollars within the community, but watch out for the corrupt local politicians. They are some of the corrupted people in the world. That's how you have fascism. Fascism is the merging of the corporation and government. It's simple. And that's what we have here in the city of Benton Harbor. Our city government have merged with Whirlpool Corporation. So now we got fascism right here in Benton Harbor. And it's important. You know, I talked about what happened with, you know, with this reporter, this junior reporter. But, you know, one thing I learned about the media, ignore them. If you ignore them, they will go away, you see. And that's what I have learned to do with them, you know, ignore them, you see. And then they come crawling to you then. You have to ignore. You have to ignore this corrupt media. And then you have the corporations. You have city government, and you have the media all merging together to prey on the people. That's right. You know, let me talk about this guy by the name of Ron Singleton. And this is important because Reverend Gary was the pastor of one of the finest churches in Benton Harbor. Plenty of money, plenty of property, had a funeral home, making plenty of money. But unfortunately, he died. And he left the church in the care of the deacons. And at that time, I don't see how this guy could have been a deacon anywhere. Ron Singleton, they sent him find a pastor. And he went to Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now remember this, Pilgrim Rest is one of the finest churches probably in the whole state. When Barry was alive, Reverend Barry. So when he died, they sent this guy, one of the Sambos, find a preacher. And he found one. He found a preacher that works for the devil. That's right. He went to Fort Wayne, Indiana. He went to Fort Wayne, Indiana. Indiana told this man, told this man not to select this guy because they had just kicked him out of their church. Kicked him out. He was screwing all the women. He was stealing all the money. He was trying to set up his own board so they couldn't kick him out. That's a pretty good approach. But the church sent Ron Singleton, a scumbag like him. He scumbag meets scumbag. That's how you look at it. Scumbag meets scumbag, you see. They put the care into Ron Singleton care to bring back a pastor, a preacher. They wanted a pastor, and he brought back a preacher who works for the devil. That's right. They brought him back and placed him in one of the finest churches in the whole wide world. And now it is the worst church in the whole wide world. He had done everything, sexually harassed women, wrote bogus checks. He's done all of this guy is filling in. Yeah. And then, after Ron Singleton brings him back, he runs. He leaves the church. He leaves the devil in the pulpit. That's right. He leaves the devil in the pulpit and runs away. And then you, and I got to say this. I had supported Ron Singleton one day. But everybody was telling me the same thing about him. He said, you're not going to like it. I'm talking about educated people. I'm not talking about the people in the street. I'm talking about educated people. So you're not going to like him. And he probably don't like you. He's just using you so he can get back in and do his thing. He figured with you, he can win. But he wasn't strong enough. If we would have had anybody else, we would have won that election. But unfortunately, we had someone who had no skills at doing nothing. But when I should have known better, when he went to Fort Wayne, Indiana, all the people was telling him who this guy was. He was locked out of the church at that time. You see, and this guy, Ron Singleton, brought him back here. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He brought the devil and placed him in the pulpit at Pilgrim Rest. He's the devil. Straight up devil. You know. And you'll find that out. It's just a matter of time. But I tell you this. You know, I knew that Ron Singleton wasn't a Christian. I could see the horns coming out of his head. He's like an undercover guy, you see. I could see the horns. Look at him good. He's sneaking around doing stuff. He what you call a sneak, you see. Sneaking around doing something behind people's back. That's what he do. He what you call a backstabber, a professional backstabber, you see. Because he stabbed Pilgrim Rest in their back. He stabbed Pilgrim Rest in their back. Now they can't get rid of this devil because he controls the deacon, the deacon boy. And they all vote and they say they don't care about him being a devil. They don't care nothing about him. They don't care nothing about this guy being a devil. They don't care. They don't know no better. And then this guy, he brings the devil, put him in the pulpit, he runs to another church. Believable. The devil in his pot. Now he's on the Benton Harbor City Commission. Well, which is full of devils. It's full of devils. You know. You got a guy there that, man, don't shake his hand. Your hand gonna come out bloody. But it is. It is what it is. Nobody should go beyond this. But let me make a call. I'm going to call in one of my good friends. And let's see, can we bring her in? I'm going to see, can I call her? And one of the greatest individuals I know. That's right. She's sweet as pink. There's none like her in the whole wide world.
Hello.
Emma Kennard? Emma Kennard.
Yes. That's
that
right.
You?
That's me. That's me.
The
one and only. There's no room for another one.
There you go, Emma Kennard. Emma Kennard, I was just thinking about you, and that's why I wanted to get you in on this conversation. You know, what I want to talk about is that I remember all those years that you fed the mayor and his children. And you know, they would come to your garden, and they would come there, and you never said a mumbling word. You never said no. You can't have anything. And this went on for about 4 or 5 years. And but soon as he got to be mayor, he kicked you off the Dollar Ride board. So
yeah,
talk a little.
He
bit
the one that he appointed me to the Dollar Ride board, asked me what I serve on, and I told him I had my hands full. He said, would you please serve on the Dollar Ride board? And I served on there. I mean, I gave my all in all on the Dollar Ride. But when I saw some things that was going wrong, and we put in action policies and procedures so that we could have some policies for the workers to go by and procedures. And so they have something to govern by, because there was many complaints coming through there. And Mr. Purvis, he's ready to retire. So he jumped out and retired. And I didn't know the full story about that. He retired, but then we brought on Alex Little. Alex Little brought his own contract and everything. And I guess Purvis, Mr. Purvis and Juanita, the one that more or less put everything through. But I was in favor of him coming because I didn't know he would do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And after he got there, I found that there were some things that was being done wrong. And we just wanted to talk to him about it. And he said he wasn't going to talk to us unless we tell him what we're going to question him about. So when you tell your boss that they can't talk to you about something that you know that you're doing wrong, anytime someone can give you a $30,000 raise without going to the board, it's a problem there, and I want to discuss it. And me and the board, we should discuss it. That's why the board voted to fire him. And so the mayor saw that I was getting close to a lot of that money, that CARES Act money that was going through there, because they kept Purvis on as a, what you call him, consultant.
Yeah.
He's getting his retirement money. He's getting the consultant money, and then getting CARES Act money, and the girl that was spearheading I can't think of her name, but anyway, she was that.
Human resource.
Human resource person.
Right.
She was telling them that she could run everything, so that because they had, after we got rid of Alex Little, we brought another person in there. I didn't know the man had a hearing problem, but when you have a hearing problem and the mask thing comes in after, you know, he was there, then that by you having that mask on them, and you're supposed to have it in close places, it's a danger for you to speak to him because he can only read your lips.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a concern, but I was also concerned about his him letting a lot of things go that was going on there. But there is the money was the thing that was going. I said, you have to follow the dollars, and you just about find where the crooks are. And that's exactly what was happening with the money thing, that CARES Act money. Is the thing that has been damaged right there at the dollar ride. And half of the time, they didn't have enough buses, enough people weren't even coming in to even put in a full day of getting people to and from. It was so many complaints coming in. And we were trying to get to the bottom of it all. The mayor, along with one of the traders that was in the that was on the board, got together and got me out of there because I was getting too close to the idea, because the human resource person and that person was dealing to get a lot of the riders that was going that was there. So it was a whole lot of backstabbing and a whole lot of stuff. It was just a mess. And that was all set up. And then if you don't watch the way that it's been ran and ragged it's been ran and the way the city has been done and not having documentation of a lot of things, that's going to give the indication for this whole city of Benton Harbor to be flipped, because the infrastructure is being fixed off of our statistics. And that whole infrastructure is going to revert to all these developers coming in here and changing the city over, and blacks are going to be put further out into, what do you call it, the further out near, in where there's all farmland and crickets. Where is that at?
They're going to push them all the way out. That's what they're
Push them way out. That's why I see the city is flipping, because as soon as they get through with changing all of this, these pipes and getting everything cleaned up and begin, because, see, Benton Harbor got the greatest chance now to revert and fix this city, because to clean it up, half of the time the workers got the street sweeper broke. They don't come down through the, they could take one ward a week or either one ward a day or two and then go to the next ward day or two and just repeat that with the street sweeper. But instead, the street sweeper, they broke. So what is the person doing that's supposed to oversee this equipment?
Yep. You know what?
They have no kind of... They don't have any kind of book to keep up with the workers each and every day. I even spoke that to this not the finance director, but but the city manager, and they had done the things that just exactly what they know is going to cause this city to continue to fail. Well, look at St. Joe. Look at Stevensville. You can't find this much mess and corruption and dirty and filthy. Don't care how you sweep the streets or clean up. And they said, well, it's the people. No, the city should have a time that they do and enforce what's on the book. They come and do their job and enforce it from that point on. Because when this city reverts over to having someone else to come in here and run it, it's going to be an entirely different city.
Yeah, you go, and, you
and
know,
they can't take the brakes. That what is that now? Go ahead.
You know what? And everything that you have done for this city, and yet and still, you get this guy. Matter of fact, everything you've done for him and his family. You're one of the few people that actually that took care of his family for all these years, and then he come and stab you in your back. This man.
Well,
I don't get it. I don't look. I'm looking for Minister Farrakhan to step up and say something. He needs to come out and say something, or someone from the Nation of Islam needs to say something about this guy. You've been too good to this guy, and he goes and stabs you dead in your back.
Well, I was campaigning for him, and he was campaigning against me when I was I was going to run as a write-in, and he was campaigning against me when I was pulling for him. And like I said, I still love his children and his wife. They're beautiful. But him,
you know what? I really like his children. You know, he go around wearing a suit and they say silk ties and French cuffs, and he got his children looking like they do. He don't buy no clothes, no food, no nothing for his children. All he care about himself. That's unfortunate.
Yes. It is unfortunate. But those babies, mm-hmm. they are beautiful and they're lovely and his wife is too. And, I appreciate, the people that they are. But they mm-hmm. don't deserve him because I see anytime you throw others under the bus and you have sworn under oath to be mm-hmm. a voice and protection for the city. And I give you water to have it tested years ago to protect the community because mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of children damaged from this lead in the water. And he didn't even go and have it tested because if he had, he would have had the paperwork. And it's documented that I gave him 2 bottles of water. The whole commission was there that day. I wanted to make sure that they saw that me giving it to him. And do you know, they wanted to put a lie out that you poisoned to put the lead in the water. I said, nah, if that ain't the biggest lie I ever heard, Reverend Pinkney was the one that's putting the lead, this lead, documenting that it's lead and it wasn't bad like they said.
But Emma, ain't nobody throw that lie, but that's not because he don't know no better. His mind is so undeveloped.
Well, they said
he's so trying to make himself worse, and instead of taking care of his children and family and feeding them, he's so busy trying to, because his wife came to City Hall. She came to City Hall and told everybody, I got 6 kids, and I'm a single parent. Right in front of everybody.
Sure did.
He said,
last time I looked, I thought we was married. Her mother was there and all of them heard it.
Look, if her mother the one who came and helped her to take care of the children, because he didn't know, he don't never be, you'll never see him with his children. Never. Never.
Yeah.
He
but you know, and you know what, Chief? If being black men, I want the best that there could be for a man. But I want the black men in our city to stand up and really be men. And I tried to mm-hmm. really work hard with the mayor, and I wanted him to shine. You know, he had his chance to really shine and stand up mm-hmm. and really make it mean something for us. As black people, they have a community that's ran to govern this city and see that it flourish and become a beautiful, shining beacon of what we could be. And he failed. And so there's no need of him looking for another term because everybody else can see it too. Lots of people have come to me and talked about it. They couldn't even talk to him. He always busy and he got something else to do whenever they want to talk to him. So he missed his chance.
Mhm. He just wants to be important.
And,
he just want to feel like something.
Right.
You know. Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't out to hurt him, but he hurt himself. This was a golden opportunity for him to stand up and be what he said he was going to be.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? And I love the minister because he came out and supported me. But he needs to step up. Where is he? Well, look, Emma, I gotta let you go. I really, really appreciate you. I want to bring in another guest. But look, thank you so much, Emma Kanani.
I thank you, Chief, for being who you are. How you worked hard with this water deal and getting some attention to it.
Absolutely.
So I thank you.
All right, we'll talk soon, Emma Kanani.
All right, sure.
Bye
bye. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was Emma Kanani. She is someone special in this community. And let me bring in my good friend, Phil. Phil from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Talk to me.
Hey, Reverend, how are you?
I'm great. What about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Working too hard, it seems like, lately.
But if you do any work, it's too hard. You know that. If you're not in the basement, that's how that works. But everybody may not understand you, Phil, but I do. I understand you, Phil.
Yes, you do, Reverend. Yes, you do. And I wish I could say the same, but I don't. I don't know why you put up with all the crap that you do.
Well, what? It's for the people. Somebody got to do this for the people. And that's where we drop the ball. Everything I do I don't do it for myself. That's why you can't hurt me. See, if I was doing it for myself, you could hurt me. But I'm not doing it. I do nothing for myself. Everything I do is for the community. That's what I do. And that's my goal. If I can do it for a community, that means, and I don't even care. See, I'm not trying to win no popularity contest. I don't even want these people to like me, Bill. I don't want them to like me. Because if they don't like me, they won't call me.
Sure. Oh, my goodness. I'm here in Portage, just working on an apartment. You know, that's what I do.
Oh, okay.
When
you're
I'm
a new job.
Yeah, yeah. But
well,
I wanted
you
to,
just,
you know.
You can turn out to come on my show and say a few words. Phil, that's why I love you.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I love you, Phil. I mean, you know, I mean, we've been together so long now, it's hard to separate us. Only thing I think that can separate me and you is a bimbo pizza. Because I don't like the way you eat bimbo. I don't like it.
I like that sausage as much as you do.
You don't eat the centerpiece with me and you together no more. You eat the around the edges.
Oh, my goodness. Well, at least you're coming out and saying it. Okay. So you're a pizza dictator is what you are.
A pizza dictator. I love you. Hey, listen, you know what? I'm still memorized. I'm thinking about the book that you wrote about me. I love it. I mean, it's you have worked beyond the call of duty. And the good thing, you know, whenever I call you, you always try to make yourself available for me. I appreciate that. You know, that's
sure,
huge,
Reverend.
Bill. That's
well,
huge.
You know, I know you're the right guy to support. And I know that you're out here not taking any salary for all this water distributing that you're doing. So, I people can either do two things if they want to be an activist. You can get out there and go on your own and do your own issue, or you can support someone who's already doing a lot of work. And that's what I choose to do with you, because I know that you're doing so much. People like you that are so active, you need support. You know, you need people behind the scenes doing different things. Just to help out, because you can't do it all yourself, even though you're trying to.
Yeah. You know, you said the key word, you can't do it all by yourself. And one of the things that I like to stay focused. I like to do what I do, and I like to be, I like to be home planning my day. See, one thing about me, what I do, I plan my whole day. I plan what I'm going to do at this time, at this time, at this time. And I try to keep that schedule if I can. In my mind, I'm telling myself where I'm going. And then I give people permission. And I know these people don't really like me, but hey, who cares about that? I have them to, I give them the privilege of calling me whenever they feel like it, you know. And knowing that they're not going to come out and support nothing unless it concerns them directly, and I don't mind. I really don't mind. I don't mind. And one of the things, there's a show coming out of Washington D.C. that want me to start having the show out of Washington. The only thing I don't like, they won't pay me. I don't want them to pay me, because then you can almost control what I say. So I'm concerned about that. That's my only concern. I don't want you to pay me. I want to get on your radio show. I want to have my own radio show so I can say whatever I feel like saying. And, you know, you can't say this on this show. I can say what I want to say on my show, you know.
Sure.
And I do. I say what I want to say. Whether I don't even care whether people don't like it. That's on them.
Yeah. So the water program is going okay. I know
last
time I was out there, you had, it was like clockwork. You had, Well, on the truck I was on, there were about 12 guys, I would say.
Yeah.
Good system. So how much, how many streets do you cover each day?
Well, what we cover is we cover 4 streets a day. Well, actually,
okay.
Well, let me 4, 4, 4, 8. We cover 12 streets a day.
Okay.
That has their own. So we do what we do 19 pallets, 19 pallets a day with 86 cases of water on them, and we distribute
okay.
it to the community, and we do it like clockwork, you know. And my thing is to keep people working. As long as you keep them working, they're willing to come and do what needs to be done. So that's what we do. And they don't like it. They figure that, you know, this whole thing was going to be collapsed in the winter. They said the first thing is that December 1st, Pinckney going down. Pinckney stood tall.
Oh, my God.
January 1st, Pinckney going down. Pinckney stood tall. March 1st, Pinckney stood tall. They said, and they didn't like all this stuff. And then, they came up with all kind of tricks, planting water on the corner and calling the news media come out and find not my water. They don't want to write the story, so they thought they had me. But we've been busy doing the things that need to be done, making sure that people have clean. But here's not my problem, Phil. The people is not drinking the water from the bottle. The reason why they're not drinking the water is because of the governor language. He told the people, don't drink the water because of abundance of. You can't tell folks stuff like that. And look, we're only giving them 10 cases now every other week. And they don't want, they don't need no more water because they're not drinking it. They're not doing what they're supposed to. They'd rather drink the contaminated water. Because they don't know no better.
They don't know no better, Phil.
I'm telling you this. They don't know no better, Phil. And they out and they doing, you've been telling this 100 times. And they don't even know how it affects their children and how it affects your kidneys, your liver, your heart, and your brain.
Well, they just can't imagine probably their city sending them poisoned water.
Yeah.
They can't imagine that, I suppose.
The city don't care about you. What they care about you?
My goodness.
You can drop dead. They won't even come to your funeral.
So what did the governor tell them? Something about the bottle one?
Yeah, she said, the bottle, she's doing good with the bottle water because we forced her to. Only reason she's doing good now is because we forced her to. She didn't want to deal with pain. She did all kind of tricks to discredit me. They did everything you could think of. You know, even tried to accuse, I'm putting lead in the water. How stupid can you be? I got to put lead in the water. Let me melt the lid and put it in. How stupid can you be? And had the nerve to send the police to my house telling them that I sabotaged the sapling. You know, so anything, they can't carry their own weight. That's the bottom line. You're talking about the governor, you're talking about the slime ball mayor, and they can't carry their own weight. Listen, the first thing they should have did was man up and say, yeah, we understand there's a problem. We're going to fix the problem. You see, that's what they should have said. They shouldn't have to argue and debate about anything. And I know the mayor didn't know. He don't know. He don't know nothing. He want to know something, but he don't know nothing. Let's put it that way. You know, if he knew anything, he would go out and take care of his children. You see, why should you wear a suit and look at his old raggedy clothes? You got your kids running around. You never see him with his children. Never. Never. All these years I have known him, I have never saw him with his children myself. And one time friends at one time. But I have never saw him with his children. Never. I never saw the children in his car. I have.
Well, yeah, if you can't take care of your own family, then
you'd
have trouble taking care of a city.
Absolutely. And that's a no-brainer there. You know, he wanted to wear suits, and he don't care how his children look. What kind of mess is that? He didn't, look, like I said, Emma Canard fed his family for 5 years or more.
Oh, my goodness.
And she didn't say not one word. She didn't mumble not one word. She, you know, she fed him and his family for 5 years. And then first thing he did when he got to be mayor, he kicked her off the Dollar Ad board. This is the type
goodness.
Of guy he is. This is what you're dealing with. And I'm ashamed of the minister. I'm ashamed that he haven't stuck up and said something about it. He the one told him, he was at my house when he told this guy to run for mayor. And he told me, he asked me, would you help him? I said, yes, I will. You know, but he told him, will you take care of the people 3 times? And he said he would, and he couldn't wait. He was lying through his teeth. You see,
no.
He was lying through his teeth.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it's unfortunate. Mm. But that's reality, you know. We have to make sure that we push forward and do what we need to do, because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. When you're not doing what you're supposed to do, this happens. Phil, this is what happens. And now he thinks he's bigger than life now. He don't know who butt to kiss. Whether he's going to kiss Whitmer butt or Fred Upton butt. He don't know what he's not a Republican or a Democrat anymore since he became mayor.
I see. Oh, my gosh. Well.
Yeah. So that way he could play both ends of the stick, you see. So, but I know that Governor Whitmer brought him into the office when he talking about he going to run at the independents. I know that woman was nuts on him. I know that she exploded on his butt. Tell me, you going to do what? You get down there and kiss
goodness.
Her butt, you slam ball, you. And, all over, just kissing butts, and then one will act like he's somebody. And then, look, he was trying to take credit for the removal of the pipe, and they stopped him. They said, no, you can't get credit for this, buddy. You know, get credit for your own work. There's nothing you have done that you deserve to get credit. Name one thing that you've done that you I said I was going to do what I was going to do, and that was nothing, and he did exactly nothing for the people. Exactly nothing. Exactly nothing. He has done nothing for them. They didn't even know how to get grant money. Every year that, you know, well, St. Joe knew about it. I knew about it. St. Joe, every year you apply for this grant money to fix the roads. Every year. And it's free. You know, they give it to you. And they, you know, until I got out of prison in 2017, 7 years they should have been getting this money, 7 years before this. They didn't know until I got, when I told them, they got mad. Then they want to take credit for it after they filled out the application, a simple application to get the money. Then they wanted to take credit for it. I don't care who gets credit, let's fix the roads. You know, if you want to get credit for something that you haven't done, go right ahead. If that makes you feel good.
Sure.
If that makes you feel good, as long as the people are taken care of. That's all I care about, you know. These guys, they just happen to be elected officials. That's all they care about.
Sure.
So
yeah, they just want the power.
Yeah.
Are they fixing any of the service lines?
What do you mean, the lead lines? Yeah, they're at 80%. They've been doing that. I almost had a fight with one of the things because they were trying to go so fast that they was leaving holes and uncovered, making it unsafe for the residents. So I told him, I said, y'all need to start covering up. You know what he told me? He said, I'll kick your butt. I said, you can. I said, but you're going to lose this contract, this $10 million contract. When I said that his eyes went up big. His eye was so big that he was shocked. I said, go right ahead. I said, I want this contract. I want somebody from the city of Benson Harbor to have this contract anyway. So yeah, come on. You know. So he went there. I saw him on Friday when he had started paving, and he stopped me and said, what you think about this? I said, you could do better. Well, look, Phil, I'm going to let you get back to work, And I'll always enjoy talking to you. I gotta bring in my doc. You go back to work with your lazy self, because I'm gonna report.
You're bringing in Dr. Tyne.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll listen for a few more minutes.
All right. Well,
good talking, Reverend.
Deal with you guys, yeah. All right. Well, let's bring in Dr. Tyne's one and only. There's not even two of him. There's only one Dr. Tyne in the whole wide world. Matter of fact, they can change the word doctor to Dr. Tyne. That's what they should do. That's how I feel about it. Dr. Tyne, talk to me.
Yeah, thank you. You're more than gracious. I don't know if I deserve all that. But what we got to do is we got to get to the throat. And the throat is this, that these CEOs make doctors HOs. So the CEOs are making the doctors hoes, because it's the doctors who are going around here. The ignorant ones who have low IQ will call themselves providers and not physicians. And there's no such thing as a provider school. They went to medical school to become physicians. But you can tell the IQ of a doctor if he calls himself a provider. The other thing that you need to know is that these nurse organizations don't give a damn about the patients. And what they've done is that they lobbied and worked with the hospital administrators who hate doctors. They lobbied with the doctors' enemy, which is a CEO hospital administrators, who wanted one time to become doctors and were rejected from medical school. So when they went into business, and every time they can, they want to try to stick it to doctors. And then doctors are kind of foolish in that aspect. And so what you find is that these CEOs make the doctors hoes, but they go out and get the money, bring the money back. And last year, the medical CEOs made $4.5 billion by taking away services and care for patients, by taking away care and services and medications from patients. They made $4.5 billion. And none of the politicians are speaking up. There's one who's Annie Bell. She's trying to get in the office. But I don't know, with her calling out the CEOs and insurance companies, I don't know, but if we can support it, that would be good. But the bottom line is this, the next thing that these bastards are doing, yes, I'm a physician, yes, I'm an internal medicine and pediatrician and also an associate professor. What these bastards are doing, these guys now, as of July 1, have told doctors, stomach doctors, heart doctors, cancer doctors who I've spoken with, they told the stomach doctors, look, we're going to let you pay for the colonoscopy, but if you find a tumor or a polyp, we want the patient to pay to take it out. The heart doctor, look, we'll pay for the cardiac cath, but if you go in there and you find that it's blocked or narrow, we want the patient to pay for the stent. Then they told the cancer doctor, lady getting ready to get her chemotherapy, they told the doctor, look, hey, we'll pay for the chemotherapy, but we want you to have the patient pay for the labs right before chemotherapy. And what happens is you can't do the chemotherapy without the labs, because if the blood count numbers are too low, it can bump off the patient, so it put the patient at risk. If the cardiac cath, if you go in there and you find a narrow one and you don't fix it, that's still a heart attack. The patient could die. If you go in there and you look and you see a tumor or polyp and you don't take it out, it can grow and the patient could die. And all three of those scenarios, if a doctor did what the insurance company told him, I sit on the board of medicine, so I would have to take every doctor's license who did what the insurance company's done. These insurance companies are practicing medicine without a license. They're telling these doctors what to do. And then these cowardly sheep-like doctors hoping to get some backdoor cash are not saying anything and going along with it. It was the patient that exposed this. And so what we have to understand is that we're getting screwed from that 1% or all those business people. Now, here it is in 2013, one CEO made $66 million. $66 million in 2013, when the Michigan Medicaid budget that year was $30 million. He could have took half his salary and paid for all the Medicare in Michigan. So these guys are trying to come back in and steal more money from the patients, do less patient care for the patients. So, yeah, we have to make sure that whoever these politicians are, that we start firing them and calling them out, because we can't say that our politicians from the African-American community, the Black Caucus hasn't done anything since in the last 50 years, because we would not be going to the situation that we're going through right now. And what it was shown by Dr. Claude Anderson, it showed that in 1960, we only had 103 politicians in the whole United States. Now, 30 years later, in 1990, we had 9,000 politicians, and our condition had got worse before the Civil Rights Movement. We own less property. We own less businesses. Our health care is worse. Our economic financial situation is worse. So what have you politicians done based on being in that office for over these 50-something years? Nothing. And then another thing you need to know, you can tell somebody who's ignorant, is that any black person who used people of color in color is unintelligent, have been misinformed, been miseducated, tricked, bamboozled, and had, because none of those groups use that terminology when it comes to you. The Hispanic look out for the Hispanic, the Arab look out for the Arab, the Chinese for the Arab, the Chinese for the Chinese, the Polish for the Polish. No fool looks out for everybody else except the educated black fool. And so we have to stop using people of color and say black or descendants of enslaved Africans and call a spade with a spade, because these groups are not having problems. All of those groups have got they've got reparations or consideration. They've got reparations or considerations or financial enumeration because they've been given money. And what we have to understand is that Dr. Claude Anderson was just last week in the Supreme Court fighting to try to get black people the 1866 Indian Treaty rights, where the Indians, the Native Americans, owe black people money who are descendants of enslaved Africans. He's still fighting that fight 30 years later. So he's the father of the reparations movement, him along with Reparations Ray. But we have to start holding our people accountable, and it's great that we start calling them Sambos, because we got to correct and give honor to Uncle Ben or Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom was an advocate for the black people and for the black woman, and they try to flip the script. They try to make our heroes and the villains and the villains and the heroes. How can Al Sharpton be a hero when he worked for the CIA and took down Johnny Cochran's partner? How can Jesse Jackson be a hero when Martin Luther King, Andrew Young, were saying that the day he got killed was he was thinking of exposing Jesse Jackson as being an FBI informant? So how can we make the white heroes our heroes? When the whites are pumping up a black person, that means that they're the heroes for them and not for us. And we got to start correcting that, and we have to realize it's us for us and not for them. And anytime someone is speaking about them, instead of just saying black, saying African-American, or saying descendants of enslaved Africans, then they're not for us. They're for somebody else. That's our reality. What you have to understand, even in terms of the voting right, white women have always had the right to vote. They still have the right to vote. They can displace anybody because they are a numerical majority. They are, white women are a numerical majority. There are more white women than there are white men. But they're classified as a minority through the Civil Rights Bill, because the white Southerners wrote the bill so that to make sure the money went to the back to them. And so what happened in the Civil Rights Bill, we gave up our black businesses, we gave up our black homes, we gave up everything that we own so that we can give it to the white people to make them richer. And then later on we made the Arabs richer. Then we made the Koreans richer. We made the Chinese richer. We made the Japanese richer. When does a Japanese get out and want to go to a black neighborhood to get some food? When does a Chinese get out to go to a black neighborhood to buy some clothes? So we need to look at ourselves and know that we have to invest in us to uplift us, and that's what segregation that we had us owning everything, had us owning movie theaters, had us owning post offices, had us owning schools. We have to stop trying to love everybody else and be truthful to first loving self. That's why in the First John book it tells you that you're a hypocrite, you're a liar, when you say you love God but you don't love your brother. And when we have to start loving our brothers and sisters, we have to start loving our race and the black face. We have to start to get that to uplift our race.
All right. Absolutely. I agree 100%, Doc. And that is so, so amazing. And I tell you, you know, see, one thing about black folks don't get this. We, you know, if we do what we're supposed to do, we can win if we fight. These guys, they got us so scared. They got us all split up. Everybody wants to be a sellout so they can get that extra money and everything. No, it don't work like that, Dr. Tan. We have to do what we have to do and stay focused. Well, look, I'm going to let you go early because you did good today, and that was huge, man. That was huge. And I'm glad that there were so many doctors that I saw that were willing to speak out. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I thought you was the only one in the whole wide world, Doctor. And Miss Crawford, she's bad. I love her. But look, I gotta let you go. I gotta move on. We got this little bit of time left. I gotta let you go. Let's talk soon.
Amen.
All right, Doc. All right, let's go to Belinda Parker Brown, the one and only. Talk to me, Belinda Parker Brown. You actually get
hey, Pastor Pickney. I guess Dr. Times just dropped it like it's hot. But I got my girl Christina on here, and you know, we were talking about the historic moment that's happening right here in the state of Louisiana right now, where we're fighting back, Pastor Pickney, and mm-hmm. we're using all the help that we can get. And this young lady, Christina, I'm telling you, you know, she's a white woman, and it's, you know, and I know that, you know, it's just time for we to have more people like her that really understand what this is all about, this fight against the African-American race. So I want to, you know, she's in the fight with me to help, you know, Pastor Victor, that was a prominent black businessman, multimillionaire, getting ready to develop a corridor right outside of New Orleans to bring in black businesses, you know, a script mall and, you know, homes and everything for the people there. And went and the judge that sentenced him to life in Angola, one of the worst prison, was known as the worst prison and the most bloodiest prison in the world, told him that he gonna spend the rest of his life there. And she was the judge of his number one competitor, a developer, mm-hmm. Pastor Pickney. That's how bad it is for us when it comes down to us trying to, you know, help our people and help ourselves. So, Christina, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. Why don't you just go ahead and say what you want the world to know about this fight that we in and supporting Pastor Reverend Errol Victor?
Okay. I will hold back from using some names of specific judges for now because I don't want a gag order, but Reverend Victor Sr., you know, he's been an innocent man held hostage as a slave by a judge in St. John the Baptist Parish for 14 years. His first guilty verdict was not a guilty verdict at all. It was not all 12 jurors, and the Supreme Court has ruled that unconstitutional. But you also cannot try someone a second time. If you were to take his trial from 2014 and put it today, the same jury, same judge, same prosecutor, he would walk out a free man. Instead, we went to trial again for a second time on the same charge for the last two weeks, and it was more corruption than I've seen in my life, and I thought I've seen corruption. You know, the judge, Reverend Victor was let go. He was found innocent before he ever even was arraigned within the first few weeks. But after that, it was that judge was not going to allow him to be able to walk out. You know, autopsy photos that became, you know, out in the public were from when the body was already in the morgue embalmed with post-mortem bruises. He was charged with second-degree murder and given to a judge whose property butts up to his 192 acres that would have brought 91 black-owned businesses to that property that butted up to theirs, and they were not going to have that. You know, going to that trial, I saw that jury, something happened. Within an hour after the state impeached their own witnesses for 2 weeks straight, even the doctors, and we weren't allowed to speak of the first case to the jury. We weren't allowed to say that he was not found guilty, that he was dismissed because he didn't even have to be arraigned because there was no evidence that he was even home. You know, his wife told that jury for the last 10 days, he is an innocent man. He was not home. There's proof he was not home. You know, the state's witnesses, his stepsons, they changed their story weeks and weeks later, and they have been attacking physically our witnesses in court. You know, that one was arrested, but they still impeached themselves on the stand and made him seem like a monster. And the jury, they did not buy it. I know they did not buy it. But Judge Becknell and Judge Snowdy, the old judges from that case, chose to come and sit in the courtroom and watch that jury every day.
And even if the one judge was retired, you know, who does that? You know, and
not only that, the
first prosecutor that was retired on the case, you know, they had 14 lawyers in there against our three lawyers. So the whole thing was, it was a conspiracy of corruption from the very beginning. They wanted to stop this black man from being able to bring about a prominent economic development to help black people in a dilapidated community. And they didn't want that, because with that community thriving, we have taken business away from their white community. And that is the sad, sad story about why Pastor Victor has been sitting in prison for 14 years, him and his wife both.
July 20th, we filed, before the jury verdict came in, we filed in the 19th Baton Rouge, you know, East Baton Rouge JVC for a petition for injunction and declaratory relief and a temporary restraining order against the judge and 40th District, 40th Judicial District Court and the state of Louisiana. And we're challenging them to prove to us that it is constitutional to try this man again when he's been found innocent. And when they challenge us, only one of two things are going to happen. They're either going to pull out all that corruption for the public to see by arguing with us in court, or every person, because they don't want to challenge us, that has a non-unanimous jury verdict is going to be able to walk out of jail in the state of Louisiana that are being held without a conviction right now because they had a non-unanimous jury verdict.
Yes,
and
indeed.
And that's over 1,000 people. They will walk out of prison.
And that's why we're asking the whole world to come and stand with us, we're declaring and saying, let our people go. You know, the highest court in the land, the United States Supreme Court, ruled that what Louisiana did here with a 10-2 verdict was unconstitutional. It was unconstitutional. So let our people go and let them receive the liberation and the reparation that they deserve, because it has destroyed so many families and so many people have suffered. You know, Pastor Pinckney, we appreciate you so much for giving us this opportunity to tell the world what's happening here in Louisiana. You know, you came down here and you saw it for yourself, Pastor Pinckney. You saw what they had did to this man. They took this man's kids away from him, 13 kids. You know, the one that died is buried, and he don't even know where his child is buried at to this day. You know, they adopted all of his kids out. They ripped down his house, an $850,000 house. I got the pictures of it, and it's a concrete slab. You know, all of this stuff they did to this man, took all his money out the bank, you know, recalled all of his loans, you know, stole his land away from him and everything, all because he was a black man that wanted to help his people. So Dr. Times is absolutely right. We're saying enough is enough, and we can't take this anymore. We need everybody to stand with us, and there are good black people out here that's saying that this is wrong. It is wrong what the African-American people have to go through and suffer through and fight for. We've been fighting all of our life, and what we're saying, enough is enough. And soon when they see somebody like Reverend Pinckney, they put you in jail, Pastor Pinckney, because you was trying to help and fight for your people. Now they got Pastor Victor in jail because he was trying to bring about, you know, development and help his people. It is wrong. It is wrong, and we're fed up.
Yes, and we would encourage anyone mm-hmm. to go to at Justice Held Hostage on Facebook and read Reverend Victor's story and how many people that his story can impact in the United States. And, you know, Mr. Victor is being seen as a slave. He's being seen as a descendant to a slave. and slavery is not out of our prison systems. It is not out of the United States. It is not removed from the southern states especially, and it's in every prison in this country. You know, Victor's life has been taken because he is only being seen as a descendant to slaves, and he was successfully bringing change to help the black community, which when I went to that trial, it's like a third world country there. It is sad.
Wow.
It was the worst thing you could even ever imagine, you know. Right. And what we're saying, Pastor Pinckney, is that if we don't do something now, later is going to be too late. We're talking about the future generation of our children and our grandchildren, and this have went on for too long. When she said that we're not going to close our eyes and we're going to continue to fight to the very end until we say every single person deserves justice, we deserve liberation, and we deserve reparation, because what they have done to us, somebody got to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Please go to the website, victorheldhostage.net, and I mean, please join our campaign to help him. A dollar helps. We are doing fundraisers to, you know, gain support for him, his legal fees. You know, we've so far been able to come up with them, but for what we have filed, that's going to help everyone with a non-unanimous jury verdict. We need help. We need donations so Reverend Victor can stay in this fight against keeping that restraining order against them and walking out of prison. I watched him meet his grandchildren for the first time in trial last week, and they're little, and it broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I am a white woman, but I'm a white woman who in the last year saw 147 black men be railroaded into a system, and I'm a white woman who knows that the sixth leading cause of death for 18 to 29-year-old black men is police brutality. And I'm not going to allow myself to associate with white people who cannot just stand up because you're human beings and because you deserve to be seen as that and nothing more.
Yes.
So
please
fight with Reverend Victor.
Wow.
Yes, it's for Reverend Victor. Thank you so much for allowing us this opportunity to share. It breaks my heart when I hear people like her that have, you know, really sacrificed a lot to be by my side in this fight for Reverend Victor. And,
no,
you
I'm
know,
fighting
we need
my own
more
fight
people like her.
Because I'm standing up for people of color, I was arrested and I was retaliated against. And I've had to go through a horrible court process because they don't want me to publicly put out there what I've seen in the last year for these black men.
Absolutely.
But I'm not stopping, and I'm going to do it.
Wow. I love it.
Wow.
I love it. Listen, you guys, y'all keep up the great work. Look, anytime y'all want something, I won't be on this Sunday, but I will be on Monday. So if you want to come back and talk some more, matter of fact, I want to dedicate a whole show to you guys. Not this Sunday.
Please.
The following Sunday, I'm gonna have a show. And I'm just gonna let you guys talk, and that's not this Sunday. The following Sunday, because this Sunday, you know, we won't be available. But I want y'all to come. I want y'all to make sure y'all put it on your calendar for next Sunday.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. We certainly appreciate that. And I know that, Pastor Pinckney, if you can, any media outlet, you know, MSNBC, you know, PBS, those people, we have sent them, you know, information, you know, regarding our press release. So we definitely want your help with that.
In an email, I'm going to send you all my contacts for all the national news. And you can use my name, let them know that I gave you the information. And let me when I get back, I'm gonna wait until I get back. When I get back, I'm gonna send you all this information. Let's work on the media national. I like to get y'all hooked up with the Guardian newspaper because that's international. Once you go there, everybody jumps on, and that's the one I use mostly.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Absolutely.
Well, we certainly appreciate you. Thank you so much for this time today.
All right. Y'all have a great
thank
day.
Thank you so much.
And don't forget, not this Sunday, the following Sunday.
Next Sunday.